The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell, live in studio, waiting to take your phone calls on anything you'd like to talk about your health, no matter what it's caused and what's coming from. So 888-630-9625. Perhaps you've tried, you've applied, you've searched, you've looked, and you come up with the same old answers. Not a whole lot of everything. That's why we're going to talk to you today and try to put a different view on the subject. You know, without drugs, without surgery, it's an important consideration. Your body was not meant to be a pharmacopoeia. It was not meant to be influenced constantly by the onslaughts of drugs, particularly when you have the capacity to fix things and if you really get your head into a proactive state. However, don't let me neglect from saying that happy Mother's Day to all of the amazing ladies that are out there. So many of you are, you know, you work, particularly in the Washington area, you worked, you're trying to be mom, you're trying to be cook, you're trying to be all those pieces. And so many of us guys don't take what you do as not only serious, but in so many cases, we are not even aware of how easy you make our lives. And so happy Mother's Day, ladies, and I salute you and everything. You know, I had the pleasure of growing up in a very Italian family. So you can imagine that's, you know, very matriarchal, and mothers, you know, ruled the roost. They're the ones that, you know, determine what was happening in that household. And without them, we wouldn't have become who we are today. And I know many of you can, regardless of what your background is and where you came from, know that is true. And I can't neglect, but my guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, the 17th of May at the Rozell Center for Healing, talking about osteoporosis, a balancing act, is my wife and the mother of my children and grandmother to five. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
So I have to be nice today.
I'm glad that the sun came out today.
It is. I can't say anything mean, nasty, or...
No, you have to be nice all day.
Anyway. Really? All day?
All day. Oh. You can handle it.
Can I go to bed early?
All right.
Okay. 888-630-9625.
You're so bad.
We're going to be talking about osteoporosis today and Wednesday evening. You know, this is a condition that affects approximately 45 to 47 million people, depending on the author that you read. And those are the ones that are documented. Those are the ones that they know about. And actually, the statistics are far more reaching than that. It's important to understand that this just doesn't affect women. It also affects men. Matter of fact, 55% of all people over the age of 55% over the age of 50 have osteoporosis of some or osteopenia or loss of calcium in some way. And we're talking about a condition that is not only metabolically life shortening, one that will cause you pain, one that decreases your capacity to do many things, a process that will cause other situations to occur over a period of many years. So we don't realize it's subtle, it's significant. But I'm not going to go on. I'm going to talk to Sue about that because we want to touch on so much of this. And this Wednesday evening, she is going to really position this for you and tell you what you can do to hopefully change your life and get your bone density, because this is a very reversible condition. Give her a call today, 888-630-9625, and come and visit her this Wednesday evening. Sue, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Okay, why is osteoporosis such a deforming situation, a deforming condition, more so here than virtually most other places in the world? In the United States and westernized cultures, in Canada, United States, it's like it's on the rampage.
Well, let's put it into perspective, okay? My approach to osteoporosis is, one, it's not a disease. It's a warning signal of a degeneration process that's going on in the body. The exact same degeneration process that happens that causes our skin to wrinkle, our hearts to fail, our diabetic tendencies to manifest. In other words, it's a reflection of a lot of lifestyle, I should say a lot of poor lifestyle choices that can happen. Yeah, there's a small percentage of people that have some genetic tendencies towards significant osteoporosis. But even in that situation, 10% is their risk for genetics. The rest is lifestyle directly. We tend to have an approach anytime something goes wrong of treating it as a disease. When it's not necessarily a disease, it's actually a warning signal that there's some things that we need to do differently to make a different outcome. One of the things that we see in the westernized civilizations is a shift in our dietary patterns. All right, we no longer eat fresh fruits and vegetables and lean meats and get fresh air and sunshine and get exercise. We are bombarded constantly with advertisements in our, even our medical profession that keeps throwing things at us that we have to take all these supplements, we have to do these medications, or surely we will crumple and die by the time we're 70 and end up in a nursing home. And the reality of it is that's not true. We are changing the kinds of things that we should be doing to things that we should not be doing, and the end result is we're getting bone changes, just like we get heart changes or we get skin changes. And I think that's one of the things that makes us different in our Western culture than, say, some of the third world countries or some of the countries where they have less of the kind of lifestyles that we carry. For instance, I mean, most people by the in the 1940s and 50s were not drinking sodas as the primary liquid. But yet now, if you look at the consumption of sodas, it's anywhere from 3 to 6 sodas a day, or the equivalent of it, for many, many people. That's right in that by itself is one of the reasons.
You see kids doing that, kids in high school, kids that are beyond high school. We see Cokes in baby bottles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the most unbelievable thing
I've
ever seen.
It has become an epidemic, and it is one of the major things that causes osteoporosis.
You know, and there's two things that are on the rise in children, and particularly as you get into the teen years. One is osteoporosis. The other one is coronary plaquing, and it's for the same reason.
Yeah.
Across the board. And we're seeing more kids that come in, they fall, you know, doing something, and they break both wrists.
Mm-hmm.
And, or they're, you know, they have fractures that shouldn't occur. They're taking bumps and lumps that we did when we were kids, and we got a bruise. We didn't feel good, but we didn't break bones.
Exactly.
Now they're breaking bones.
You had to fall off the monkey bars to break a bone before. Pretty. Now kids can fall down and break a bone.
Well, now they don't have monkey bars either.
That's true.
Unfortunately. You know, because they're afraid that kids are going to get hurt.
But
the
point here is, you know, we have to sit back and take a look at what we're doing with the way that we are treating our bodies. And we are losing track of the basics that are essential for good health, regardless of what condition we're talking about. If we don't exercise, if we become couch potatoes, we lose our strength, we lose our muscle mass, we lose bone density. Being bedridden for 24 hours, you begin to lose bone density. Because you don't have gravity pulling against it.
Well, it's the same thing with somebody breaks a bone and they put a cast on it. Over a period of 6 to 8 weeks, they've lost a significant amount of calcium
because
there's no movement in the muscle.
There's no movement.
There's no
stimulation.
There's no demand.
You know, we lose our muscles when we sit all the time because we're not stressing them. We're not forcing our muscles to stay strong. Well, the bones connect to the muscles. I should say the muscles connect to the bones. And if those muscles aren't pulling against the bones say, oh, I don't need to get strong. I'm not necessary. So they don't. And you don't attract the nutrients into the bone that you normally would. So number one, we stopped exercising because we don't have to for day-to-day activities. And not to say I'm going to give up my washing machine and my dishwasher. But the point is 50, 70 years ago, people were involved in a lot more physical activity just to survive, just to do the day-to-day routine things of taking care of families.
Well, people have heard me say repetitively on the program that if you go out and walk 2 miles a day, it doesn't make any difference how fast, but 2 miles a day, you decrease your risk of dying of a disease process by 50%.
And that includes osteoporosis.
That's right. That's what we're looking for. And we go to the office. We're on the third floor. I walk up and I walk down.
Yep.
You do as well.
Yep.
And those that getting a little bit, you know, longer than the last office because it's those, I think we got about four more steps on each flight. No, not really. But anyway, that's what we do to try to make sure that we do get some exercise.
And get some activity.
And I'm on my feet all day long right. treating patients. But so many of us go to work, we sit. Now you're seeing all the advertisements for these stand-up desks,
mm-hmm.
which will help. And, yep. you know, they're coining the term that sitting is the new smoking.
It is.
And it is because, and we could get into that, but that's like a horse of a whole different conversation. But it's important that we do move. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Sue will be talking about osteoporosis, the balancing act, how to get you out of the mess that you're in and the medications that you're taking. Wouldn't it be nice? Because when we talk about the side effects of these medications in the second half of the program, you're going to say, oh, my God, if it's not the osteoporosis, it's the drugs that are killing me and the things that are taking place. And it's a true situation.
That's
not us telling you that. It's the truth about what's going on.
See, well, and not to get onto a tangent about that motion thing, but to take it to the extreme, are our astronauts and the
yes,
people in our space station.
Absolutely.
They were one of the first groups of people that exemplify the effect of no gravity on the effect of bone density. And that got to be a real big problem. So a whole industry of exercise and weightlessness was developed because these guys were coming back here after being up there for a month or two with bone density that was horrendously low.
And just to be clear, the exercise we're talking about is strength training, not just little motions of moving your arms, although that's helpful and
that's
it moves
helpful.
Lymph and gets rid of the toxin, but you got to strengthen that as well.
But we start wherever you can be. So the first point is we're couch potatoes and we need to stop it.
We are. And we're going to find out more about that. But before we go to that that level, let's go to Les. Thank you for holding. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about the valves in the veins of the leg.
Okay, what's your question?
It has to do with a particular case. I had a trauma to the leg at the calf level, and then I had a DVT that went from the ankle all the way to the vena cava.
Okay.
So in order to eliminate the DVT, they went in behind and up through the veins to clean that out. The question is, in doing so, do they need to destroy the valves that are in the veins?
That, unfortunately, is the surgeon who goes in and does it. It depends on where the clot, the deep vein thrombosis, is located and how they get in and do it. Some of them can be done with laser. Some of them can be done with surgery. It depends on each individual situation. Does it have to be destroyed? No. Is there a risk that you end up destroying the valves? Yes, you can make a case for that. So what the next step is, if it's, you know, if they destroy the valve and it's no longer functioning to hold the blood and you begin to get stagnation and other hemorrhoidal-like, if you will, we'll use that term, torturous veins in your lower part of your leg, then they go in. Unfortunately, the medical approach is to go in and then begin to strip those out because they can't reconnect them to other veins that are intact. So then they put the burden on other areas that have to double duty, if you will. Less, you know, so to answer your question, there's things that need to be done. Fatty acids are great. Vitamin E works extremely well. But you need to have somebody that can titrate them or put you on the right doses. You have to watch the dietary patterns. You have to make sure that you have good muscle strength as well around the leg to maintain that integrity because the veins do not have muscle. We're coming up to a break. Sue Rozelle is in studio with me. Your host is Wednesday evening. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio. It's beautiful outside. Give us a call, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Sue Rozelle, the mother of my children and the grandmother of my grandchildren. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Happy Mother's Day, Sue.
Thank you.
We're talking about an epidemic. We're talking about something that unfortunately can take away the quality of your life, but also can take away your life. And the treatment is just as bad, adding to the things that we just talked about. What are we talking about? Osteoporosis. This Wednesday evening in office at the Results Center for Healing, Sue is going to be doing a presentation on osteoporosis, and we're calling it the balancing act because it truly is a lifestyle. It's what you do, what you don't do. You have to get your act together. The incidence of osteoporosis is huge. You know, 55% of everybody above age 50 has osteoporotic problem. And if we don't do something about that, the incidence is going to rise because of what it is that we do and that we don't do. And it's unfortunate. We're suffering needlessly. So let's get into it a little bit.
I wanted to add one more thing about exercise before we leave that.
Okay.
And that is the fact that they've done some studies on the effect of exercise. And it doesn't have to be intensive exercise. It can be things like climbing stairs, doing some lightweight training, walking up hills, things like that. But in one of the studies that they did, in 22 months, the group of women who exercised just 3 times a week, probably about 30 minutes each time, increased their bone density by 5.2%, while the women who did not during the same period lost 1.2%.
So you got a big shift.
Big shift. And I mean, all these women did was to add a little extra exercise into their activity.
You know, as we talked about, we are slugs in what we do. We don't do much of anything anymore.
Right.
We sit around on our thumbs, and subsequently everything goes away. And not only our muscle density, but our bone density and so forth.
Right.
Osteoporosis, as we said, is on the rise. And the other piece is osteopenia, which is a initial loss of bone density below where it should be at age relevance. And so here's the thing with x-rays, right? They send you out for a bone DEXA and so forth. Until you get at least 30% loss in bone mass, you can't see it on an x-ray.
On a standard x-ray. That's right.
30%.
That's right.
I mean, you're already in trouble.
At that point, you are in trouble. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, what are we doing? We said, well, I don't have any problem. My doctor didn't say anything. Well, then he just put you on, we'll talk about in the second half, these group of drugs called bisphosphonates, which your well-meaning doctor just destroyed the rest of your life. But, you know, we'll talk about that.
Well, we'll talk about that in a sec.
Yes. Okay.
You're jumping ahead.
Kelly, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Actually, thank you for taking my call. I may be jumping ahead as well. I am calling regarding strategies for reversing osteoporosis. I've done some research and am very concerned about the drug options, so I'm really excited about anything.
As you should be.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots that you can do, and we're going to get into that specifically in the second half, but Sue's going to get into it personally on a one-to-one basis this Wednesday evening. So you're in Alexandria, it'd be a good class for you to attend. But there's so much that can be done, from making sure that you're absorbing things normally, making, you know, we touched on exercise. We touched on a couple different patterns that will generate this. But everything from stress to what you put in your mouth to your activity levels, all of those things can contribute to osteoporosis. And the fact that we don't go outside, we're cave rats. And in this area, about 75 to 78% of the population is significantly vitamin D deficient.
At least.
May I ask, I actually have gone to a gastroenterologist asking about how to test whether I'm absorbing calcium and other nutrients properly, and they seem to think I was from Mars.
Yeah, they have no clue.
Yeah. There is a couple of laboratories that we use that will check your ability, you know, check your status on vitamins and minerals, and that's one aspect we look at. The thing you want to remember, though, and this is what we started the program out with, is the fact that this is a lifestyle situation. So when you change your lifestyle, you can also change the condition of the bone density itself. And that's a lot of what we're going to talk about Wednesday evening, and I'll touch on it a little bit today.
Good.
Kelly, so the problem is, in traditional allopathic arena, they don't know what the functional medicine models are, and they look everything in a compartment.
Well, everything's pharmaceutically oriented.
And everything's pharmaceutically driven. I was down in Chattanooga this weekend talking to a friend of mine who has a very, very large integrative clinic, and you know, we were talking about the things that we share in common. One of these is what we're talking about right now, and the approach. We see so many patients in our practice that walk in just simply in pain, and the pain has to do with not only bone loss, but the loss of calcium within the different muscle patterns and organs and fascia and so forth, and the transportation that you need. And it goes back to the intestinal system, the inability to, you know, transport, to absorb. It comes back to the neurological irritations that exist within the spinal system. And if those things aren't working cohesively, then no matter what you put in the system, it's not going to be a benefit. But stay tuned, Kelly. We're going to get into that a little bit more in the second half of the program. And, you know, please join us Wednesday evening. I'm sure that you're going to learn quite a bit about how to fix this thing for yourself, because, you know, in our point of view, osteoporosis is not something that you have to live with. And, you know, unless in a very few rare situations, it's genetically driven.
It can be fixed.
We're coming up to the break, and we have to pay attention to those who bring you Dr. Tom Rozell live. And after we do, we'll be back with more on this subject and anything else you'd like to talk about.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. You guys are the best, meaning the mothers out there. Guys, you take a back seat to this. I mean, gentlemen, you know, if it wasn't for the mothers, we would be nothing. So in office and in my studio and in my house, I have my number one mother. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
That is not to say that there are other mothers out there, just in case you were wondering.
I know.
Okay, just, you know, so get that straight. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. That's how you call us here this Wednesday evening, the 17th, Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing. Sue Rozell will be your host, your presenter. She's going to be talking about osteoporosis, a balancing act. And this is a condition that is epidemic in this country and worldwide is growing. But guess who has the greatest incidence of osteoporosis? The good old U.S. of A. Mm-hmm. We are falling apart. Our bones are breaking down. Sue, there was an interesting article, and this is one that you and I go back and forth on quite a bit. And I know this is kind of a slingshot, but I'm going to put it out there anyway.
Of course.
Of course. I wouldn't do it otherwise, would I? So there was a study that came out and was published in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And it goes back a while, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it said that vegetarians compared with age and sex-matched omnivores were less likely to develop osteoporosis. Mm-hmm. And that's a battle that you and I have kind of played with on the line back and forth over the years.
Okay, well, again, as I point out, you have to look at all the different factors. Don't let the statistics modulate your thought process. Vegetarian people do not eat as much inflammatory foods by not having the animal products. That is true. However, their protein levels can be low. If you're just looking at the density of the bone, the actual mineral number that's in each bone cell versus the microarchitecture or the actual bone cell itself, you might see some differences in that situation because the proteins in vegetarian people often are very low. It also makes a difference of whether you're talking vegan or ovo-lacto or pescatarian people. All right, pescatarians are fish and vegetable only. No animal meats other than fish. Those people are very healthy, and I have to agree with you. Those people could actually show the best of all of the situations. Vegans, because the protein levels are very low and it's dependent on very good digestive tract to be able to absorb the nutrients and the minerals, and the fact that so many of their protein sources also block the ability to absorb minerals, they may not show such a good level. All right. So again, you got to look at some other things. Vegetarian people often, if they're good vegetarians, often follow a better lifestyle. You don't see them guzzling sodas. You don't see them not exercising. They're often very healthy in other aspects. So that also plays a role. So you got to make sure that you're not just looking at one thing. From my perspective, it doesn't mean you're going to have bone density issues if you eat meat and poultry, unless you are also a high soda drinker and you never eat vegetables and you don't do any lifestyle activities to improve it, like reduce your stress and get some exercise.
Well, isn't ketchup and a pickle, isn't that
vegetable? According to the schools, yes. Yes. Well, I'm hoping that may have changed. That we're going back many years ago when I found that out from the Fairfax County school system, that was considered a vegetable. I hope that has changed since then. But We're talking about just good old plate full of vegetables. Half the plate should show some kind of a vegetation, preferably of green or dark orange or red. And only a quarter of that plate should have a protein of some sort and some other form of starch, or maybe just three quarters of vegetables and one quarter of the animal protein. But the point here is, when you look at a group as a whole, you have to look at all the different factors that play a role in bone density. It's not just the minerals like calcium and magnesium and zinc and boron and strontium and all the other trace minerals that go into making good bone minerals. You also have to look at the cells that hold those minerals. And unfortunately, the way that we treat osteoporosis, or the way we diagnose it, is only looking at one aspect. And this is part of what explains the reason why cultures, particularly Asian cultures, have relatively low bone density, but also a very relatively low rate of osteoporosis and fractures. And it's not because of just the mineralization. It is also because that group of people historically has a better diet that supports the health of the bone cell itself, or the microarchitecture.
888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you talk to Sue right now today. And this Wednesday evening, the 17th, you can see her, meet her, talk to her at the Roselle Center for Healing, 7 p.m. She's going to be talking about osteoporosis, a balancing act, and get into the specifics on the things that we're talking about and how to handle this. You know, Sue, there was a book out a long time ago called The Calcium Lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written by a guy by the name of Robert Thompson, medical physician. And he basically laid out the fact that, you know, we have patients that come in, you and I both have patients that come in that say that, well, why do I have any problems with calcium? I drink a lot of milk. I eat a lot of cheese. I do, you know, all this stuff, right? And yet these are the patients who have the highest risk of heart disease and kidney stones and gallbladder problems and osteoporosis and type 2 diabetes and hypothyroid and parathyroid and osteoporosis and osteopenia. It's worse among that population.
Sure it is.
Why?
Well, for one thing, the calcium that is in the dairy products that we eat, at least in this country, is so manipulated by the way they process the dairy products themselves that we can't ever absorb it. That's the first thing. Second thing is the protein casein in the dairy product is a very inflammatory molecule. Inflammation sets up the pathway for degeneration, whether we're talking heart, bone, kidney, liver, whatever. Anytime you have inflammation, you have a destruction of body tissue. The bones are no different than any other tissue and will react to that. There's a phosphorus content in cow's milk that is much, much higher than what human beings need. That high phosphorus content also makes us very acidic, and that, again, will take the bone density down. So there's a lot of reasons for it.
The interesting situation, I'm going to flip just a little bit, because the truth of it is calcium coming from milk or dairy products, because of the pasteurization process and so forth, doesn't work. There's a shifting. When you have raw milk straight from the udders of a cow or goat or sheep, you have milk in a form of covalent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a covalent bond that easily transports into tissue.
And that translates to being easily absorbed.
Right. So thank you. So once you get into a place where you heat it, right, pasteurization, homogenation,
you damage it.
It goes into an ionic form, which sits in the bloodstream. Now you have focus of plaquing. You have focus. Now here's the other piece that people don't think about often. Somebody who's in chronic pain, somebody who's had an accident, somebody who puts up with, somebody who is taking medication to keep out of pain, their incidence of osteoporosis, osteopenia, the potential of going to those areas is far greater than the general population.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see a patient like this and they're on all these other medications, you can almost guarantee that they're going to have some form of problem. Now, osteoporosis in those situations can be, if you will, localized.
Yeah.
And because the structural system's not moving, now you have a problem with that localized area, like
right.
the fractures we were talking about where there's a brace, because the body doesn't want to move an injured joint. It doesn't want to move an injured spinal area. Inflammatory levels go high. You can't absorb anything.
Sure. And the same situation. This is how chiropractic makes a difference in it, too, because when the segments are locked and aren't getting a good range of motion and moving around and the muscles attached to them are not being balanced and tugging equally on it, you get a deterioration of the spinal segments themselves. So, you know, it goes back to what do we need to do to keep the body in balance? And when the body is out of balance, such as it is in injury and inflammation and pain and so forth, you set up a tremendous acidic condition, inflammatory condition that is causing deterioration of tissue. And again, it's not just bone. It can be brain. It can be heart. Any degeneration is basically under the same principle.
And here's the thing that I want all of our lady listeners to think about. When you go to your doctor and he tells you you have hip problem and the femoral head, and that's the only place it's located, is losing calcium. You just did a DEXA scan. You went out and you got the x-ray taken, and it says loss of calcium. One of the reasons is structural imbalance over a period of time that allows that hip not to move normally, and now you have degeneration and loss of calcium from that bone and that joint.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that all the time. Robert's calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome, sir. How can we help you?
Hi. I've got a question about Prilosec. My GIs prescribe that long term for Barrett's esophagus.
Barrett's esophagitis.
I'm concerned about these side effects, including bone loss.
As you should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's been now 4 years he's had me prescribed for it.
Well, the problem, Robert, with Prilosec is that not only are you setting up calcium loss, because Prilosec shuts down the production of hydrochloric acid and pepsin within the stomach lining. And now you need those things to absorb calcium, to absorb proteins, to absorb B12 and B6 and other minerals that go into the system. So you're being depleted on multiple levels and you can't absorb your D and so forth. Super important function that the stomach serves in digesting and absorbing all these mineralizations. So Prilosec is a major, major problem. Now, our history, and I don't know your case, and I'll give you some general guidelines, as Sue can jump in as well, is that any Barrett's esophagitis is usually a result of an irritation to the gut and to the esophagus directly, and it can often be just because of grains. If you're eating grains and you're sensitive to grains, and the only symptoms that you would have would be this type of condition often, and it's going to irritate and it's going to break down that. So in the medical arena, they're going to tell you that Barrett's esophagitis is a result of the sphincter, the valve between the stomach and your food tube, your esophagus, not being competent. And things are backflushing into that area. So they say, well, the only way that we can fix it is to shut it down. They used to cut the vagus nerve. It's a long nerve from the brain that goes to the stomach and other organs as well. There's somebody down in your area that I think the world of that I think could handle this very, very nicely. If you would send me a note at rosellcare.com, I will make that referral. I'll put you in the hands of somebody who, if he can't handle it, there isn't a person on the planet that can handle this thing. But he can, I assure you. So
there are many times that Barrett's esophagitis can be reversed or significantly decreased through using other methods besides Prilosec. It's just you have to be fully evaluated and followed up. But definitely food sensitivities played a role in that. The state of your gut plays a role in that. Good probiotic status plays a huge role in that. And checking for bacterials in the stomach like H. pylori, all of those things play a role in what caused it to begin with and need to be addressed.
Yeah, the mechanical pieces of why the stomach is not working the way it's supposed to. If there is a failure of that valve, it can be because of neurological irritation. It can be because the muscles aren't firing the way they're supposed to be. Those are mechanical pieces that can be fixed, but also the biochemistry can be fixed, but you got to find out what you're sensitive to. Robert, thank you for calling. Appreciate your phone call. Lorraine, how can we help you? Thank you for holding in there.
Yes, first off, I want to thank Sue for and say Happy Mother's Day on
today.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in and talking about this really important topic of osteoporosis. And so I've got two questions. Basically, I know there are two good products out there. At least I've heard they're good products. One is Ossipan, which I know the Roselle Center offers, which has a combination of calcium and magnesium for the magnesium properly absorbs the calcium so it won't be sucked from the bones and cause an osteoporosis situation. There's also a product on the market called CalMax, which has the same thing, a powdered form of calcium and magnesium in mix, which is supposed to be easily absorbed by the system. So here's the two questions. Would these two products help prevent osteoporosis? And secondly, wouldn't it be better for both men and women to take these two products? Because, you know, both could get osteoporosis.
All right, let us handle the question. We're coming up to a break. We've got about a minute and a half, and we'll try to give you as much detail. The short answer is depends on the person. Go ahead,
and
Sue.
And also, calcium is only one small part of osteoporosis prevention. Yes, men need to be aware of it too, because one in five to six men have osteoporosis. One in three women have it. But the point here is men have to be a little careful how much calcium they take, because it can be a very negative thing for prostate health and intestinal health. So we got to be careful how much calcium. Well, in cardiac health, and that goes along with how it's metabolized. But as far as being an irritant to the tissues for the colon and the prostate in men, we have to be a little cautious how much we give. Women, on the other hand, frequently are not calcium deficient when they have osteoporosis. They're magnesium deficient.
They're not transporting
transporting.
It's not being pulled in, and the vitamin D on top of that.
And they're not getting the messages from the body of what to do with the calcium that is pulled in. So, yes, those two products are optional. Good options to do, certainly better than a lot of the other things that are available, but it's a small part of the program.
You have to look at the entire metabolic makeup, Lorraine, of the person, what's going on with them. I'm not a fan of taking things like calcium or high levels of minerals at any level just proactively, because you can get yourself into trouble if you don't understand the pathways.
And there's ways to check that.
We're coming up to a break. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Roselle live, as you do every Sunday at 12 noon, high on the Eastern Seaboard. You guys know where you are in the country, and thank you for listening. We appreciate your comments, your commentary, your emails, and we try to get to you and answer your questions as best we possibly can. This Wednesday evening, the 17th of May, in office at the Roselle Center for Healing in Fairfax, right off the National Capitol Beltway, about a third of a mile, but maybe a smidgen more, Sue Roselle is going to be doing a presentation. She's going to be talking to you about osteoporosis, the dangers, the problems, the drugs that you're on, the bisphosphonates, something that is called a melting jaw. And she'll cover all of those things and your questions as well, and show you how that your chronic pain patterns can be causing this. So do yourself a favor. Call the Roselle Center at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And tell them that you'd like to attend this Wednesday evening. I promise you, you will be impressed, but you also have tools that you can use immediately to make a difference. Give the office a call, 703-698-7117. Sue, let's talk a little bit about the program and the things that you're going to get into and what you're going to talk about, and, you know, why people better show up.
Well, we're going to talk about how people got to have this problem in the first place, which we sort of touched on today. We're going to talk about things that we need to do from a lifestyle standpoint to remember the fact that this is a degenerative disease. It's a warning signal, really. Our bodies send us all kinds of signals that we need to do things differently if we want to stay on this planet. This is just one of the other warning signals, and we're going to talk about how that reflects in other health aspects, heart health, kidney health, that sort of thing. We're also going to talk about some of the lifestyle changes, specifically dietary patterns that we should try to follow, exercise patterns, stress management, huge, huge thing, stress management. And everybody needs it. I have a couple of little breathing techniques that we'll talk about that we can use to help just calm things down a tad. We're going to also talk about nutrient support. The last caller asked about some calcium forms that we use and that are available. And yes, that is a very important aspect of care for osteoporosis, but it is not the only thing. We also want to talk about other nutrients that are involved in this and the reason why some of the patterns that are being told them by the medical field are not always the healthiest things to do. And I'm not even talking about the medications. I'm talking about the nutrient support, what differences we need to do for men versus women, because men have to be concerned about this too. They've got the same bad lifestyles that women do. It's just their hormones are not playing as big a role in it.
It's showing up more and more. Well, hormones are a point with men today, going to the same parallel, Sue, that more guys are developing prostate cancers, women developing breast cancers, and guys are, years ago was unheard of, and you know, we've said that some authors, between 3 and 5% of all breast cancers are male now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the hormone imbalances,
right,
and the absorptions from the environment.
But
and
it's an opposite. In women, it's a lowered estrogen. In men, it's a lowered testosterone.
Correct.
And in both, it's a lowered progesterone.
Correct. But the estrogenic effect environmentally is suppressing and lowering the testosterone.
Exactly. And that creates an inflammation that's deteriorating the bones for men. You know, it's, we don't have the same bodies. We're very different. But the same outcome of bad lifestyle choices and imbalances in the body can give us the same situation.
This is truly one of those situations that's based on our fundamental philosophy of the triad of health.
Right.
You know, injury patterns and biochemical imbalances from a lot of things, electrical field problems, emotional patterns, it's lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's what happens in life. This Wednesday evening, the 17th, Sue Rozelle on osteoporosis. It's a balancing act. Love to have you as a guest. Love to see you there. We're coming up to that end of the program. Wish we had more time. We love you all. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Bye.
Bye.